Let us unite our hearts in our word of prayer. Our righteous, holy Heavenly Father, it is to thee that we come through the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our great High Priest. We come unto thee with willing hearts. As we have come in this morning and thou hast blessed us, we pray that thou would also provide thy blessing again through thy Holy Spirit to speak unto us thy word of life, and that thou would direct our thoughts and our affections to that which is above, far above all powers and principalities, far above anything that this eye can see, far above everything that we can imagine, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is high and lifted up. And we pray, O Lord, that our gathering together would have that effect, that our hearts would be lifted up unto thee, that our thoughts would hold thee in reverence, and that we would give ourselves completely to thee. We trust, O Lord, in thy work that thou wilt set all things in order, that our lives might be a sacrifice that is well-pleasing unto thee. We ask all these favors in Jesus' name. Amen. Desire, with the Lord's help this afternoon, to read from Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, Apostle Paul writes, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Read the entire chapter. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we bow in prayer to God. The words of this last verse that we read together stuck out in my mind as we were praying together. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Jesus has said, he that believeth on him, speaking of God's Son himself, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The faith of a child of God is what will lead the way into a life that is in unity with Jesus Christ, and a life that will inherit eternity. But life that is not led by faith is sin. And so this truth that is being expressed to us from God's word really puts an important question in front of me as I think about the decisions that I make, the way that I live my life, and perhaps the distinct conclusions that I've come to about how to live. Can I answer positively that I am being led of faith? That I am being led because I believe that this is what Jesus Christ desires, and that this will bring him glory and honor and adoration and praise? That is of faith. Or do I do the things that occupy my time? And do I make the decisions in my life because that's what all my friends are doing? And it seems like they're doing it and they don't get in trouble, so it must be okay. Do I ever question? Do I ever bring these things into the light of God's word and ask, is this advancing the kingdom of God? Or is this something that I'm doing just because I enjoy it? Is it of faith or is it of sin? Polar opposites, and an important question, an opportunity for us to evaluate. Have I even asked the question? Do I believe? Am I doing this in faith? Apostle Paul says in verse 14, I know, but then he continues, not just because he knows, but because he says, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus influences. The Lord Jesus directs. As he said to the Corinthians, the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ is that narrow path that he has given for us to walk upon and to follow and to be occupied in. That is the road of life. That is the road of salvation. And when we believe in that narrow way that is Jesus Christ, and we come in unity and love with him, we will find that there is one destination for our souls. And that is to be forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. May our lives be put under the question and the light. Is it of faith? Is it of God? Or is it of sin? There is a particular matter at hand that Apostle Paul is addressing here. He's talking about those who would eat meat and those who would not. It's a conflict that would occur between those who would want to keep the law and perhaps go a little bit even further. The law taught not to eat certain animals like pigs, but some took it a little bit further in that they wouldn't eat any meat at all. And some realized that these were gifts of God and to be received with thanksgiving and asked God to bless them and could partake without hurting their conscience. And Apostle Paul does not take his time here to say that one or the other is completely right or completely wrong, but his point here is to encourage them to be patient, one with another. Even as we heard this morning about with meekness, seeking to persuade, seeking to encourage, seeking to be a light to others who perhaps are stepping on their own feet, who are putting things in their own way, and are hindering themselves so that they could repent and they can acknowledge the truth. Paul describes these individuals, and gently, he does bear witness to some reality about them. He says the one that eats herbs, he is weak. He says to both of them, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. With a proud look, one who feels that, who felt that freedom that he could eat, could despise the ones that eat not. And then on the other hand, let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. How quickly the one that eateth not could have a judgmental attitude towards the others. It says, for God hath received him. Though he has said they're weak, he also speaks a word of kindness, because God hath received him. What greater blessing could there be than that God would receive one person, one soul, into his family through Jesus Christ to be adopted in? It's not a small thing. And the Lord, he is desiring to work with each and every one that calls upon his name, to draw him closer, to correct him, to teach him. And for the Romans at this time, there was a need for patience. Not all circumstances that dealt with practices of Judaism were dealt like in this way. We read in Galatians how severely and strongly Apostle Paul speaks to them, telling them if anyone brings any other gospel, that he would be cut off. He speaks to the Colossians and says, let no man deceive you. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In these he takes great pains. And here the lesson and the point for the Romans to take is one of patience. And we see in Thessalonians, Apostle Paul writes about this reality, that there are times for correction. In the end of 1 Thessalonians, he says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. There's times for warning. There's times for comfort. There's times for support and to be patient toward all men. He turns the attention of the Romans that are going through this very particular circumstance and reminds them about their accountability to God. He asks them, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. This too is a beautiful title, to be the servant of God. What blessing he acknowledges that belongs to these individuals, that they are the servants of God. To his own master he standeth or falleth, and then yea, he shall be holden up. He's not able to stand, he's weak, but God is able to hold him up and to make him to stand. God is able to work. And it is God's work that we need. It is the faith in the Lord and his word that we need to take ownership of, that we need to claim, that we need to stand fast in. And God is able to make his children to stand. One man esteems a day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. There would be times when individuals would fast. We read Jesus talking about the Pharisee that would say, I fast twice in a week. And perhaps on particular days, they would hold those days up. And some, perhaps not so much on a particular day. But what is important? What is important, he says, he that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. This is something that the Lord is desiring from each of his children. We read in Hebrews, towards the end of the book, in the last chapter, 13, verse 15, Actually, a few verses before. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is well pleased with the thanksgiving that we offer to him. But we are not to forget. He goes on to speak and to remind us of our accountability to God. He says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. What a fallacy. The self-centered culture presents to us. To think that we live for ourselves or that we die to ourselves. What a small existence this is. But God is concerned. God is concerned whether we live. And God is concerned whether we die. Whether we live or we die, we do so unto the Lord. We are his creation. We're made for his purpose, not for our own. We think perhaps that the things that we enjoy, the things that we do in this life, they're for ourselves. But they're not. They're for the Lord. We think that perhaps after we are gone, that will not matter, but to the Lord it matters. Each and every one matters. And we should not forget that God takes notice of even the sparrow and each and every hair upon our heads are numbered. The most insignificant thing that no one knows about you, God knows, and he knows far more. We cannot even imagine how closely involved and desirous he is of us. And that we would realize we are to be his. We are to be his through and through. We're not to live to ourselves. We're not to die to ourselves. We're to do all things for the Lord's sake. We're to do all things through faith. He continues and says, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. Jesus Christ truly has come, and he truly has died upon the cross and rose again and revived. He filled up the perfect measure of a man's life, and he filled up the perfect measure of a death in the shame that he bore, in the suffering that he took on. And he has overcome, and he is now victorious over both death, and he reigns in life. And now Jesus Christ, all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. And for to this end he did these things, that he might be Lord of you and me as well. And that we would come under that dominion, that we would become part of that kingdom. That we would not just be a part of kingdom of self, but we would part of the kingdom, eternal kingdom of the Lord. And he's inviting. He's calling. He's warning that there will be a judgment. And this faith that we have in Jesus Christ and where that faith leads our life will lead us into our eternity. He says, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? The word naught means nothing. Why do you look at your brother and say, you are trash, you are nothing? Why do you spend your time with this? Because we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is a truth that is humbling. It makes me pause. It is written, as I live, saith the Lord. When the Lord says, as I live, we know that that's true. Because he lives, and he lives forevermore. There's nothing that's going to prevent this from happening. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. It's mentioned about all of the things that we have done, and they would be revealed. This is what that confession is. We must give an answer. We must be able to answer the question, did I do that in faith? How would I express in words what I've made of my life and where I placed my trust? How I've occupied? What would I say to God? For every one of us shall give account of himself to God. If this is true, we must pause. We must reflect and realize God is holding us accountable. God is holding us responsible. There will be a time where we have to give an answer, even for the idle words that we speak. How urgently we must bring ourselves to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he might set things in order, that he might give us grace, that we might be ready. That we can truly say with a clear conscience, my faith gives peace and rest to me and leads me heavenward to thee, O Christ, my faith's foundation. This is the answer of a good conscience towards God. This is our hope of eternal life. It is in Jesus Christ, not in our own deeds or our own wisdom or wit, to be able to explain to God how we have an excuse or we can point to someone else. But only hold to Christ Jesus our Lord and no one else. If we are to be held accountable, it stands to reason that we also have a choice in the matter. We have a choice who we will serve. We have a choice what to do with our time, what to do with our resources, and what to do with our heart. Apostle Paul says, he knows, and he's fully persuaded of the Lord Jesus. He brought the things that were in his life, the things that were presented to him as challenges within the church, and brought them before the Lord Jesus so that the Lord and his word would speak truth and help him to see it clearly. We must do this. We must question all of the things that do seem normal in the world that we live in the use of technology, in the use of our time, in the use of our finances. Bring it all to the Lord and commit it to the Lord. And there is great hope and confidence that comes in that. Even as Apostle Paul told to Timothy, he writes in his letter. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We must surrender and commit every part of our life unto the Lord. When we do willingly, he is able to set those things in order. I read recently of how the Lord had ordained that the children of Israel were to bring sacrifices. They were to bring their sacrifice willingly. They were supposed to kill the animal. But the high priest, he was the one who would set it in order. And he was the one who would present it unto God and make atonement for the people. We have a high priest. And he is calling us to bring our lives as a living sacrifice, willingly of ourselves, to surrender ourselves. That's our part. He does the work to set us in order. And when we listen to him, he can do the work and he can change. He can do the things that we cannot do. And he can make us right with God. And when we're right with God, we long for everyone's good. And we are patient as the Lord works with them as well. It's my hope and prayer that the Lord would take these words and provide the application that we're needing for our life, and that his name would be honored and glorified. Amen.
I'm thankful that this chapter has been preserved for us to read so long after it was penned. It's a chapter that gives clear, practical instruction for how to deal with times, moments when perhaps brothers and sisters do not agree, brothers and sisters in the Lord do not agree on certain things. That was the case back then when this chapter was penned, and it's the case now. It always will be. It always has been. We do not see eye to eye on every small detail. To think that we will is not being realistic. But what we do then with those disagreements, how we approach them, is what ultimately matters. And we read in verse 19 of this chapter that we have read, Romans 14, it says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." So we're trying to build up. The goal is to build up, to edify each other, not to tear down, to see someone's opinion, to see someone's viewpoint, and to understand where they're coming from, to understand why they may have that viewpoint. It's so much easier to tear down and to lift ourselves up, to think that we're somehow holier than someone else because of a small opinion that we have that might vary from another's. But we're instructed to build up, to edify, to understand someone's point of view, and to follow after the things which make for peace. There's a similar verse that is written in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." So this is not just a matter of following after peace because it's a good practice, because it keeps us living in unity. No, it's much deeper than that. If we do not follow after peace, we're not going to see the Lord. If we're not peacemakers, we're not going to be with the Lord. An attitude of constant strife, trying to tear others down, that's not the attitude of Christ. We've heard in this day that we have to pattern our lives after Christ. And Jesus Christ himself says, "Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that see another's point of view and understand where they may be coming from." That does not mean that we necessarily agree 100%. But let's understand each other's viewpoints, understand each other's opinions, and make peace. That's what this chapter is instructing us. So let's take this lesson and apply it to our lives, that we'd follow after peace, build each other up, encourage each other while we're living here below on this earth. And may God bless his word in this day. Amen.